Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos a comprobar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del Entity Group Incorporated, Carker Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019. Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson alongside Eric Habersreitinger, and we welcome you to another exciting edition of NFL Wrap-Up. Hey, E, week six was something else, man. We had to change some games around, but overall, week six seemed to be promising in the National Football League. All right, well, Eric is having some technical difficulties right now, but, you know, in any rate, man, week six was something exciting in the National Football League. Definitely something to keep our eyes on, keep our eyes and ears peeled to what's going on, because it's still early in the NFL season. It's definitely something we definitely need to keep our eyes on. And, Eric, you know, are you there? Do you have your issue taken care of? Right, so we'll wait on Eric to get back on with us. But in the meantime, man, it was exciting time in the National Football League of Week 6. Again, a lot of changes were made for the schedule. Also, some things had taken place in terms of getting some games moved around, some games shifted. Certainly, great show we've got coming up today, this week for you. We've got an interview with Brandon Schultz from the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon's podcast is dedicated to providing Seattle Seahawks content, and so definitely looking forward to that. Get his insight on what happened with the Seahawks last game against the Vikings and also with the bye week coming up, and definitely a lot of things we want to check out with him on that. Let me see if we have Eric back on. Hey, Eric, are you there with us? All right, well, we don't have Eric right now. So, again, in the meantime, we're just going to go ahead, and then as we take you through some of the scores from the most important games from week six in the National Football League. Let's start off with a good game up in the city of brotherly love between the Ravens and the Eagles. Baltimore handled their business in a close one, beating Philly 30-28. We had an AFC North showdown between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers would go on to beat the Cleveland Browns 38-7. Also, we had another division rivalry in the NFC East between the Washington football team and the New York Giants. The Giants would go on to win their first game, final score 20-19. We had the battle of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It was all Buccaneers. The Buccaneers would manhandle the Green Bay Packers, final score 30-10. The Atlanta Falcons took on the Minnesota Vikings, and it was all Falcons. The Falcons win their first game of the year, final score 40-23. Good game in Music City, USA, between the Nashville, Tennessee, between the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. The Titans would go on to beat the Texans in overtime, final score 42-36. Sunday Night Football was an intriguing matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers for the NFC West crown. The 49ers get back to their winning ways as they would go on to beat the Rams, final score 24-16. Also, we had a game that was originally supposed to be on Thursday night, but it was moved to Monday afternoon. And this was an exciting game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, led by two of the most intriguing young stars at the quarterback position with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. In the end, the Chiefs would go on to successfully beat the Buffalo Bills, final score 26-17. And then there was the Monday night cap between the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. It was all Arizona. Kyler Murray handled his business, would go on to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Final score, Arizona 38, and Dallas 10. And those were the scores from the most important games from week 6 in the National Football League. I'm going to start off with my top three storylines from week 6. I'm going to bring up with the NFC East. Man, the NFC East is not good. I hate to use this term, but they call it the NFC least. You know, you've got the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott suffered that devastating injury. And then on top of that, you've got Andy Dalton at quarterback. Didn't play well at all. Dallas's defense is a far cry from what it was last year and the year before. And I don't know, man. Arizona had their way with Dallas, and it didn't look good. It's not looking good for Dallas. It's not looking good in that whole division. When you see teams such as you've got Washington Football Team, the New York Giants, Philadelphia, just the NFC East is not looking good, but it's still anybody's division. Dallas, yeah, Dallas is in first place at 2-4, but also Washington's won a game, the Giants have won a game, and the Eagles have won a game. So the NFC East, I mean, the division is for the taking right now. Don't be surprised if we have a champion that could be 7-9, or maybe even, I don't know, 5-11, 6-10. Who knows? I mean, it's looking like it's going to be one of those seasons in the NFC East. It's just never a dull moment, so stay tuned for that. My next storyline is going to be the Tennessee Titans. I tell you what, they are playing some great ball right now. They're picking up right where they left off at last year up in Nashville, man. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's playing some great ball right now. Derrick Henry, man. Derrick Henry is a candidate for the league MVP right now, and certainly Tennessee's just playing some great ball. I think Tennessee is under the radar right now, not just in the AFC, but in the NFL, because people have paid attention to the way Green Bay has played. People have paid attention to the way Pittsburgh has played. New Orleans has played. Seattle. All sorts of teams have just played. But Tennessee is under the radar, and they're picking up right where they left off at last year. So, at any rate, I mean, the Titans are a team that are destined. They're a team that's outstanding. They're a team that definitely is to be feared, a team that's definitely waiting in the wings right now. We're not waiting in the wings, but they're currently one of the few undefeated teams left in the NFL, man. So definitely the Tennessee Titans are definitely a team that we have to definitely watch out for. And my last storyline is going to be the Chicago Bears. Man, the Bears pulled off a tough win over the Carolina Panthers. Again, Nick Foles is playing okay. They're running the ball okay, but Chicago's defense is what kept them in the range to possibly win the NFC North. Again, from start to finish, if you really look at Chicago's roster, again, it's not a team that wows you, but it's a team that can get the job done. I think Nick Foles will make enough plays to challenge Green Bay in the NFC North. Do I think they'll win the division? No, but I think they have a chance to possibly win, get a wild card spot. I mean, if Chicago continue to play great defense, and certainly the weather's going to get colder as the season goes on, and playing in Chicago, playing outside at Soldier Field, always a tough place to play. So the Bears are a team to definitely look out for as we move forward towards this NFL season. Those are my top three storylines. And I think, Eric, are you with us now? No, Eric's not with us. Again, Eric's having some difficulties right now. But anyway, those are my top three storylines. The NFC East, the Tennessee Titans, and the Chicago Bears. Again, never a dull moment in the NFL. All right, when we come back from break, I have an interview with Brandon Schultz. He is the host of the Seahawkers podcast. I'm Ed Robinson alongside Eric Habesreitinger, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up. Get in the
zone, AutoZone. Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos con probar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del NPD Group Incorporated, Carker Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos con probar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del NPD Group Incorporated, Carter Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. It is Tom.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto, tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Get in the zone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto, tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose MyHealthPolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans. Or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto, tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Más para las fiestas en los Power Penny Days de JCPenney. Con selección de toallas JCPenney Home a $7 y selección de suéteres St. John's Bay para ella o franela para él a $15. Y ahorra 25% extra con tu cupón. O encuentra selección de joyería con diamante de un décimo de quilate a $19. ¿No tienes tiempo? Compra en línea y lo entregamos a tu auto. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas del 22 al 25 de octubre. Aplican condiciones y exclusiones. Oferta de joyería se excluye del cupón. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com. Ahorra más para las fiestas en los Power Penny Days de JCPenney. Con selección de toallas JCPenney Home a $7 y selección de suéteres St. John's Bay para ella o franela para él a $15. Y ahorra 25% extra con tu cupón. O encuentra selección de joyería con diamante de un décimo de quilate a $19. ¿No tienes tiempo? Compra en línea y lo entregamos a tu auto. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas del 22 al 25 de octubre. Aplican condiciones y exclusiones. Oferta de joyería se excluye del cupón. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. My guest will be coming along in just one moment. He, along with his co-host, they cover one of the premier teams in all of the National Football League, the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to talk to him about the Sunday night thriller that they had against the Minnesota Vikings, Russell Wilson, and amongst other things going on with the Seattle Seahawks. And I've got to tell you, the Seahawks are one of the premier teams in all of the NFL, not just in the NFC West, a very tough division, but just in all of the NFL. Seattle, as his interview was airing, remains one of the undefeated teams in the National Football League. And they've got a lot going on right now. And that quarterback, Russell Wilson, is very dynamic. He's a front runner for the league MVP. And he's far ahead in the race right now, and definitely something we need to pay attention to, and as well as his position players as well. Defensively, the wide receivers have been playing well with DK Metcalf, also Tyler Lockett. They've got great tight end play with Greg Olsen and also Will Disley, and a lot of players that have been playing well for Seattle in this early part of the season. I'm also going to talk to him just kind of briefly about the 12th man. Of course, we know we're dealing with a fluid situation that's in progress right now with COVID-19, or something that's happening right now. You know, we don't know when it's going to end, but the 12th man is always vital with the Seattle Seahawks, and just a part of that atmosphere known as CenturyLink Field. And we have him on now. Let's welcome to the program the co-host of the Seahawkers podcast, Brandon Schultz. Hello, Brandon. How's everything?
Good morning. Everything is going well. You know, that the Seahawks didn't lose for another straight week. I know it was a bye week, but it still feels good.
All right, solid. Well, thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program, and good day to you as well. And let's start off with the Sunday night thriller that the Seahawks had against the Minnesota Vikings. First of all, I don't know what is it about the Seattle Seahawks and Sunday night football. It's always drama filled. It's always games that are that have you hanging at the edge of your seat. What is it about the Seahawks and Sunday night football that makes it such a great and an exciting combination?
Oh, I don't even know if it has to do with primetime games or Sunday night football. It's just the way it is as a Seahawks fan. I feel like we can't go a week without it being a game where it comes down to the wire. And again, we had to deal with it against the Vikings. I go back to the game against the Patriots. You know, it was a goal line stand against Cam Newton. And you figure that Cam Newton only needing 1 yard to you know, take the go-ahead score, you know, you'd almost accept that was going to happen. I know a lot of Seahawks fans were accepting of that. And then so then for this game with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins, it's, again, you're relying on the defense to come up and make a play when it matters most. And, you know, fortunately we got that and we got a big drive from Russell Wilson to help win the game. And, you know, that's I think something that Seahawks fans are being conditioned to accept is that, okay, if Russell Wilson has the ball with less than 2 minutes left, then we're probably going to see him do something special.
Indeed, we saw him do something special. We've seen him do a lot of special things in his young career, and his legend is still on the rise. We're going to talk more about Russell a little bit later, but let's get back into the Sunday night game. This past, well, 2 weeks ago with the Seahawks and the Vikings, this was a game, Brandon, really of three quarters and one quarter. The first three quarters was really dominant of the Minnesota Vikings, but middle of the third quarter, if you correct me if I'm wrong, middle of the third quarter, Dalvin Cook suffers a groin injury. That changed everything, and Seattle got going on offense. The defense shined bright, and of course, Russell, with the game-winning score to DK Metcalf. Just kind of tell me, what were the keys to victory? Again, we know Dalvin Cook got hurt in this game, but in your opinion, what was the turning point or turning points that helped Seattle turn it around and get the victory against the Vikings?
Yeah, it definitely seemed to shift at that point, and I don't know if it was that much of an issue really for the Vikings, because, you know, you look at Madison and what he was able to do on the ground even after Cook left. It was they were able to run on the Seahawks defense the entire night. So I don't know if I look at that a whole lot differently. But it was just the fact that, you know, they got the ball back. They had a nice punt return from David Moore that helped put the team at midfield. And, you know, they got the one touchdown to Will Dissly. It really seemed to, I guess, wake the team up in a sense. And then the defense, for them to put together back-to-back turnovers on the next couple drives for the Vikings, you know, forcing the fumble from Kirk Cousins, and then KJ intercepting a pass with one hand, and after a week where he dropped three of them that he easily should have had. So it was nice to see him get the pick there. The ability then to capitalize on those turnovers, you know, one hand off to Chris Carson, and he's 29 yards into the end zone, and all of a sudden the Seahawks have the lead. So, you know, it goes to show you just how explosive this offense can be when they're getting turnovers and capitalizing on those. It can go from a game where it looks like the team just doesn't have anything at all to, at that point, up 21-13, you thought, gosh, is Minnesota going to score again in this game, and are the Seahawks going to go on to a rout now? But no, it came back, and it was a back-and-forth game after that.
Indeed, it was a back-and-forth game. We're going to get more deep into the offense and defense of the Seahawks in just a moment. But Russell Wilson, man, since he's been a member of the Seattle Seahawks, he has dazzled with his arm and his athletic ability, his intellect to drive his team up and down the field. When Russell first got into the league, Seattle's MO was always defense, running game, Legion of Boom, and beast mode. But now there's no more Legion of Boom. Beast mode is gone. It's Russell Wilson's team. We all knew that the talent that Russell Wilson possessed when he came out of Wisconsin, and he's already a front runner to, it's early in the year, but he's already a front runner to be the league MVP. Did you expect, we all knew Russell would come out great, but did you expect Russell to play lights out like this so early in the year?
This early in the year, it is a little bit unusual for him to just come out of the gates swinging. I feel like we're used to slow starts generally in Seattle. And yeah, for this to be, well, this is the first 5-0 team in franchise history, let alone since Russell Wilson's been here. And the last time the Seahawks were 4-0, it was the Super Bowl season back in 2013. And they lost a game to the Colts. I believe it was week 5 that sent them to 4-1. So they didn't get that 5-0 start back then in 2013. Yeah, it is very, it's a very, we've seen the shift, right, from Russell Wilson. I don't think that he's always had the dazzling plays. If you go back even in the 2012, 2013, 2014 season, gosh, you look at that. He had a 5-game winning stretch right at the end of 2012 to where Seahawks fans, I don't know if we've ever seen a bigger explosion of points over a 5-game span than at the end of that 2012 season. And then, you know, unfortunately had that loss to Atlanta in the divisional round where they went on the road and got down 20 points quickly. But we saw even back then in 2012 in that game against Atlanta, Russell Wilson's ability to come back from big deficits, that 20-0 deficit. They eventually took the lead in that game against Atlanta they had like 30 seconds left on the board, and Matt Ryan was able to throw a couple passes, get the Falcons in the field goal range and kick the field goal to win that game. But even then, even back then, we saw that ability from Russell Wilson. And so I think it's taken a little while, but the rest of the league is really starting to see it now.
Yeah, indeed, the rest of the league is really starting to see it, man. And I tell you what, man, Russell is one of those dynamic players. He's like a once-in-a-lifetime type talent. It's always fun to watch him play. It's fantastic. And speaking of fantastic to watch, we know the Seahawks offense this year has been fantastic to watch. I mentioned it, and you mentioned earlier, Brandon, about the shift going more defensive-minded to an offensive-minded. Chris Carson has been banged up this part of the year, but he scored a touchdown in the Minnesota game. But, man, the receivers are phenomenal with Seattle. There's DK Metcalf, there's Tyler Lockett, and, of course, there's, you mentioned the gentleman earlier, Will Dissly, and, of course, the experience of Greg Olsen. Seattle's offense has always been called solid, but it's never been like explosive like New Orleans or Green Bay or even maybe like in Atlanta. Do you think Seattle can, in your opinion, do you think Seattle has a top 10 offense to get them through the rest of the way?
I do think so, especially with this group right now. You know, you mentioned DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And for me, it's tough to pick which one of those guys is the number one. It's been DK Metcalf through these first 5 games of the season. and, you know, averaging almost 100 yards per game. You know, he's right behind DeAndre Hopkins in terms of yards per game right now, 5 touchdowns on the season. And if you go back through 21 games to start his career, I mean, it's incredible. We just to watch him play and the physicality that he has sometimes when he catches the ball, and he's not afraid to just run over guys. And it's almost like you now go from having beast mode in Marshawn Lynch to having that as a receiver in DK Metcalf. And that has been really fun to watch. But then, you know, you have that connection with Tyler Lockett that Russell Wilson and he just seemed to have that, you know, after Doug Baldwin left, it just seemed like they didn't miss a step between him and Tyler Lockett, and having that similar type of connection, a guy that he'll look for on big plays and third down. And now he has Greg Olsen, the veteran tight end, to be that guy too. He hasn't had any huge breakout games, but we've seen Russell go to him on third down and fourth down for those really necessary pickups. And David Moore is a guy that, you know, we should mention too, as being the third wide receiver on this team. He's had some outstanding catches this season through 5 games, and he's the third leading wide receiver on the team right now. So the group of receivers, and not to mention the fact that Philip Dorsett has been hurt, and that was a guy that they went out in the offseason and really liked his speed. And, you know, they still have Josh Gordon, you know, waiting to see if he'll come back from his suspension and join the team. So even with all the guys that they have right now, there has that potential to be more. And then when you throw in Chris Carson on top of that, who I really think is one of the league's best running backs, and for him to, you know, have that twisted knee in the Cowboys game, and for him to come back and be as strong of a runner as he was in that game against the Dolphins then, it was pretty incredible to me. And, you know, him playing in a contract year, I think that this offense is the best that we've seen through the Russell Wilson era to this point.
Rightfully so. And speaking of being a part of the Russell Wilson era is the defense. During the Russell Wilson era, we associated Seattle with its defense, the Legion of Boom. Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, also Brandon Browner, Byron Maxwell. I mean, Michael Bennett, and also the list goes on and on. There's no more Legion of Boom. However, defensively, Seattle hasn't been the same, but they've made plays when they needed to. Bobby Wagner is still really the heart and soul of that defense, along with K.J. Wright. Everybody else, it's kind of been like plug and play, with the exception of Shaquem Griffin, that's played exceptionally well, and then you've had Trey Flowers and Quandre Diggs. Seattle's defense came up in the Sunday night game when it mattered the most, but how do you see Seattle's defense going forward with the remainder of the year?
I think that is the big question mark, and I think that's what is giving a lot of Seahawks fans some heartburn. When they think about the ability of this team to go deep into the playoffs and even make a run for the Super Bowl. Up on fieldgoals.com this last week, we had comparisons to the Green Bay Packers back in the season where they lost to the Giants, who ultimately went on to win the Super Bowl. And I think it was the 2011 season, if I remember right. And then you go back, and what you kind of hope is that maybe they can be a team more like the Indianapolis Colts that won the Super Bowl back in the mid-2000s, where they had the dominant offense with Peyton Manning running the show, and then the defense was just good enough. And so that's what you hope from this team. But I have a hard time looking around the NFC and finding other dominant defenses. You know, Tampa has looked okay at times, but they lost to the Bears, who you would probably say that the Bears have the best defense that we've seen out of the NFC, but they don't really have the offense to complement it. And I feel like the more complete teams that we're seeing are more on the AFC side. So I think that if it is going to bite them, it might not. I don't know if there's going to be a playoff team to do that, but there's still a lot of football left to play. And even in the second half, you know, Jamal Adams, who has been out for the last couple games, the Seahawks expecting him to get back, and he could be a huge part of this team defensively. There was a lot of hope that this secondary would be able to make up for a weak defensive line, that they really didn't address as many issues on the defensive line this offseason as Seahawks fans would have hoped. And there was that expectation that the secondary would have made up for it. And so, you know, can Quandre Diggs go back to the way he was playing back in 2019? Shaquem Griffin be in that Pro Bowl type form that we saw him in last year? And then will that move for Quentin Dunbar pay off that trade in the offseason? Will that work out for them as well as the Jamal Adams trade? And so I think there's still some wait and see. And so, yeah, as Seahawks fans, we do point to those ability of the defense to make those timely plays at the very least when it matters most. So giving up a lot of yards, but making up for it when they're in the red zone or making really big stops when they need to.
All right. Well, speaking of making big stops, Seattle's defense is going to have to make some big stops for their next opponent coming up against the Arizona Cardinals. And Seattle plays in my opinion, right now, the toughest division in the NFL, the NFC West, where you've got Seattle, San Francisco, there's the L.A. Rams, and then there's the Arizona Cardinals. And as I aforementioned earlier, Seattle's next opponent is Arizona. Their defense, Brandon, has got a tough task to follow because they've got to go up against Kyler Murray, and he showed up in big time on Monday night just decimating the Cowboys' defense. Let's start with Seattle's defense for a moment. How do you defend – what do you think their game plan is to not stop but try to contain someone like Kyler Murray?
I do think that they are going to need to have some speed on the field. And so that's why I think that trade for Jamal Adams, that's why you hope for him to be back and healthy for this game. Otherwise, I think we've seen in the past to where against teams like Arizona, against teams like San Francisco last year, they had trouble dealing with the kind of speed to the outside, you know, and trying to contain that. And they haven't really done anything on the defensive line, like I mentioned, to be able to stop that. So with the linebackers, they went out and they drafted Jordan Brooks in the first round. Now he's had an issue as well with his leg, so we may not see him in this game. They went out and re-signed Michael Kendricks to the practice squad this week. And he's been a good addition, but he tends to miss a lot of tackles, so I'm not – as high on that addition as possible as I could be. We could see Snacks Harrison in this game to help plug up the middle. But again, I do think that if Arizona is going to be successful, it's going to be attacking the edges of the Seahawks defense and really showing that speed to the outside, because that's where they had most of their success against Seattle last year.
Let's stay with Seattle's defense for a moment. I mentioned Kyler Murray, but they've got some talented wide receivers. There's Christian Kirk, who is fast. There's Larry Fitzgerald, who is just a cagey veteran and still getting it done at this age and stage in his career. And DeAndre Hopkins, man, Arizona hit the jackpot when they got him in a big trade from Houston. What do the defensive backs need to do in order to get things going for? What do the defensive backs need to do in order to try to contain those Arizona receivers?
I think we've seen them be able to contain wide receivers. You know, you go back to the Dolphins game, and again, although that you look at the game against the Cowboys, you look at the game against the Dolphins and the Falcons, where they've had these wide receiver trios on each of those teams that are very talented, they've been able to at least shut them down in terms of getting the needed stops when they need to. A lot of those yards given up late to those teams after the Seahawks have come out to big leads. I think they've held Hopkins in check fairly well in the past when they played the Texans. So I do think they match up against the bigger receivers better. Christian Kirk, you know, a speedier guy, I think that he could pose some issues. But I do think matchup-wise, they match up pretty well with the receivers. And, you know, when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, we see Kyler Murray just a lot of short passes. And the Seahawks defense is one that likes to keep everything in front of them too. So tackling is going to be a major issue. You know, if the Cardinals are wanting to get guys, you know, running after the catch and picking up the yards that way. So it's definitely more important to keep everything in front of them and then to make the tackles that are in front of them.
All right, let's move along now to Seattle's offense. Russell Wilson and the receivers that we've mentioned, of course, with the running game with Chris Carson, we know what they bring to the table, but Arizona's defense showed up big time this past Monday night against the Cowboys. Buda Baker is one of the premier safeties in the league, and they've also got Patrick Peterson. What's Seattle's strategy going to – what do you think Seattle's strategy is going to be in – trying to keep Buddha and Patrick, and as well as that Arizona defense, from not making too many big plays.
Yeah, Buddha Baker is the guy to watch out for on the Arizona Cardinals defense, which I know it bugs Seahawks fans quite a bit, especially ones in the Seattle area that watched him play for the University of Washington. And I think that's going to be a draft where a lot of Seahawks fans will look back and wonder, you know, what if the Seahawks would have picked up Buddha Baker in that draft rather than Malik McDowell, who ended up not even playing a snap for him, picking him up in the second round. So he's an incredibly talented safety. He's a big hitter, and we saw him go on a couple safety blitzes to apply the pressure to Andy Dalton in that Cowboys game. So that's going to be something for the Seahawks to be concerned about. You know, I'm excited, though, about this matchup of DK Metcalf and Patrick Peterson, because last year in the late season game, they put Patrick Peterson up against DK Metcalf, and it really did – Metcalf really did struggle in that late season game against the Arizona Cardinals, but we have seen him go up against an elite corner against the Patriots this season. And, you know, he had a great game against them. So going to be another big test for DK Metcalf. And I think he's really going to be looking forward to it.
Yeah, rightfully so. This is definitely going to be a great matchup in the NFC West between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. All right, Brandon, great job. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So tell the listeners out there about the Seahawkers podcast.
Yeah, they can check it out. We got a new episode coming out on Thursday, SeahawkersPodcast.com. And, it's a show that we've been doing since 2013, and not a bad year to start a Seahawks podcast, as it turned out, because they went all the way to the Super Bowl that year. So it's kind of fun that people can go back and listen to us document that 2013 Super Bowl season for the Seahawks. So check it out, SeahawkersPodcast.com.
All right, rightfully so. And before we let you go, Brandon, again, where can they find you on social media? If you have a website, let them know that as well. And also, once again, let them know where they can find the Seahawkers podcast via social media and the website.
Yeah, up on the on Twitter, I am at Seahawkers Pod, and I also am the host of the Field Goals podcast for SB Nation. So if you go to sbnation.com/NFL podcasts, select the Field Goals podcast, and then rather than just once a week through the Seahawkers podcast, you can get shows almost every day of the week through Field Goals.
Well, you heard it from him. He is Brandon Schultz. He is from the Seahawkers podcast. It's a podcast dedicated to all things content related to the Seattle Seahawks. Check him out on the various websites as well as social media platforms. Brandon, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Ahorra más para las fiestas en los Power Penny Days de JCPenney. Con selección de toallas JCPenney Home a $7 y selección de suéteres St. John's Bay para ella o franela para él a $15. Y ahorra 25% extra con tu cupón. O encuentra selección de joyería con diamante de un décimo de quilate a $19. ¿No tienes tiempo? Compra en línea y lo entregamos a tu auto. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas del 22 al 25 de octubre. Aplican condiciones y exclusiones. Oferta de joyería se excluye del cupón. Detalles en la tienda o jcp.com.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switch to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to myhealthpolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates myhealthpolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos con probar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del NPD Group Incorporated, Carker Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
At Jewelers Mutual, we're a little obsessed with jewelry. Obsessed like auctioneers with talking fast.
50, we're gonna fit.
Pop stars with auto-tune.
Yeah.
And dentists with asking questions.
So, how did he propose?
After they've put their hands in your mouth.
What? Great.
Yes, we've made jewelry our obsession for over 100 years. We love it so much, we named our kids Ruby, Amber, and Opal.
Venti soy latte for Opal?
At Jewelers Mutual, we insure jewelry and only jewelry. Which is why people who are also obsessed with jewelry trust us with theirs.
The Medicare.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Get in the zone,
Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos con probar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del NPD Group Incorporated, Carker Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. A big special thank you to Brandon Schultz, host of the Seahawkers podcast, giving us the 411 on what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks and what's currently going on with them. All right, Eric, are you with us?
Yeah, I finally got in.
All right. Well, welcome in, my friend. And again, thank you to Brandon Schultz from the Seahawkers podcast. All right, Eric, let's do this. So we've got a lot of games to preview, so let's get to it. Tonight's game, we've got the New York Giants going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's an NFC East showdown between the Giants and the Eagles. As I was talking about in the top, my one of my top three storylines, the NFC East has been bad this year. Dallas, they lead at 2-4, but man, it's just the rest of the teams aren't that good. But tonight, Giants and the Eagles, classic showdown in Philly. How do you like this one?
Man, it's crazy how a team could be 2-4 and lead in the division. This division is pretty bad, and this game tonight, it might be actually a pretty good game. You know, both teams know what's going on in Dallas. They know Dak Prescott's hurt. They see the fumbles with Ezekiel Elliott. So, you know, the Eagles or the Giants could get a win tonight and start making their way to start leading the division themselves. I mean, think about it. 2-4 is the leading team in this division. It's still up in the air. So this is a very important game tonight. It should be a good one.
All right, indeed, should be a good one tonight between two rising stars at the quarterback position, Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz, Giants and the Eagles. All right, Eric, we got another divisional showdown in the NFC South between the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints. First for Carolina, tough loss to the Chicago Bears in week 6, so they look to get back on winning ways. Teddy Bridgewater's played pretty well. Carolina's played well defensively, but the Saints are coming on strong. The Saints had an impressive win in their last outing, and then they're coming off of a bye week, which is huge because not only will the Saints have Michael Thomas may be playing in this game, but the fans are going to be coming back as well. There's going to be a certain amount of fans that are expected to be at showing up at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So Panthers and Saints, how do you like this one?
Yeah, this is going to be a tricky game for the Saints. They're expected to win, but, you know, don't sleep on the Panthers. I know Christian McCaffrey is not going to be playing in this game, but that still don't mean the Panthers still don't have no firepower. Like you said, Teddy Bridgewater is playing well, but the fans at the game, it's going to be 3,000 at the game, but it's a start. I think the Saints defense thrives on the big crowds at home, and until we get that, I just think we're going to struggle at home and on the road. We just defensively, we got to find our groove, and we just got to let things come to us and stop trying so hard, the pass interference, the penalties, the offsides, the broken coverages. So, yeah, it's been a bye week. Get healthy. Hopefully get Michael Thomas back, and maybe we could just start over as if, look, new slate. It's been the bye week. Let's start against Carolina at home, and let's turn this defense around, and let's go win some games. So this is going to be an interesting game here.
All right, and speaking of an interesting game, Eric, the next game that we have is the Battle of Ohio, the Cleveland Browns going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Cleveland got thrashed by the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, and then the Cincinnati Bengals lost a tough one to the Indianapolis Colts. So, man, both teams, they need this win. Both organizations are riding on this so early in the year. We've got two young quarterbacks, rising stars, Baker Mayfield going up against Joe Burrow. So it's so much going on, a lot of storylines in this matchup, Browns and Bengals. How do you like this one?
I think every time these two team plays, you could just sense you can cut the tension with a knife. These two teams never really liked each other. Of course, you know a lot of history about this team and what happened between these two teams back in the day, but it's ought to be a good game. You got two Heisman Trophy winners, two number one overall picks, two teams that's trying to start making strive to being one of the elite teams of football, and to do that, you have to beat people you don't like too much. And these two teams do not like each other. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think both quarterbacks are going to produce, and I think this might be a high-scoring game here. I really believe both teams are going to score probably the upper 20s, lower 30s in this game.
All right, the next game that we have is between the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans. Now, Eric, granted, Green Bay was embarrassed. Let's just be real. They got embarrassed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They had no answers for Tom Brady and the crew. Aaron Rodgers had no response to that tough defense that Tampa Bay presented. The Houston Texans coming off a tough game, man. Eric, so it's early in the year, and Houston has lost a lot of close games. They lost a overtime thriller to their division rival, Tennessee Titans. So there's a lot riding on this game. I mean, Green Bay is still at the top of the NFC North, but they've got a lot to play for if they want to move ahead and try to make a stand early in this in the NFC playoff run. So Packers and Texans, how do you like this one?
It's going to be a interesting game here. You know, Green Bay cannot lose another game. Houston need to win a game. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all going to play out when these two teams battle it out. Like you said, you know, Green Bay did get embarrassed. You rarely see Aaron Rodgers have back-to-back garbage games. I mean, he had a bad game last week. I started him in fantasy. Two interceptions, no touchdowns. I mean, gave me like 4 points. You don't usually see that with Aaron Rodgers in back-to-back games. So it's kind of sad that Houston's getting this Green Bay team who come off a bad loss, because you never really see them, you know, lose bad two in a row. So I think Houston may have problems here, but they still got Deshaun Watson over there. So it's definitely going to be an interesting game as well.
Well, Eric, we continue to keep rolling in Week 7 with interesting games. We got another great one in Music City, USA in Nashville between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. Pittsburgh is undefeated. Tennessee is undefeated. We got Ben Roethlisberger, who could be an early front runner to win the league MVP or maybe comeback player of the year. His elbow is fine. He's throwing the ball very well. Offensively, Pittsburgh's playing well. Defensively, Pittsburgh is showing out in more ways than one. And how about Tennessee? Despite all the stuff that's happened with them early in the year with the COVID cases, it seems like they've put that behind them. Tennessee's underrated, Eric. Everybody's talking about Green Bay, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Seattle, but no one's really had Tampa Bay. But no one's really talked about Tennessee. Tennessee is under the radar, so we got a good game. And how about Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry is another MVP candidate. Steelers and Titans. How do you like this one?
Yeah, it's the battle of the unbeatens. This could be a playoff preview, but this also could, you know, they're both AFC teams. So this also can be a seeding game, you know, later on in the year, you know, who gets the second seed, third seed, first seed. And if it comes down to a tie between these two for maybe the second or third seed, this game may determine that. So I guarantee you both teams are going to they're going to leave it all on the field. So they know what's at stake early in the year, but a lot's at stake in this game. So you should see some real good football in this game.
All right, well, speaking of real good football, we're going to see football, good football in this next matchup. The San Francisco 49ers going to be against the New England Patriots. It's going to be an emotional game, so to speak, for the 49ers quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G's returning to Foxborough, where he was drafted by. He was the backup to Tom Brady for some seasons, traded to Frisco, played in the Super Bowl last year. They fell short to Kansas City. So now the 49ers are back on winning ways. They've got a lot of injuries, man. It's a difficult year thus far for the Niners, but they're back on winning ways, and they're going up against the New England Patriots. The Patriots lost a tough one to Denver. Cam Newton is back, so New England's got a lot at stake, a very prideful team, so it's going to be an interesting game. Niners and the Patriots, how do you like this one?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton's back. He looks like he's trying to get back to his MVP level, but you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, whenever you play your former team, you know, even though he wasn't a set starter there, he was there for quite a few years. He knows the system. He knows the team. He knows the coaching staff. So you always want to put a good performance against a team that traded you away or let you go. And I think he's got a lot of motivation for this game. So look out for Jimmy Garoppolo to try to make some good things happen against that Patriots defense, but they also got a quarterback too in Cam Newton, so it's ought to be an interesting battle between these two quarterbacks.
All right, Eric, we got a Sunday night matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Las Vegas Raiders. The lights are always bright in Las Vegas, and they're definitely going to be bright on Sunday night. Tom Brady, Derek Carr of the Buccaneers, they showed out. They handled their business beating the Green Bay Packers, and they handled their business, but now they have to go to Las Vegas and handle their business to take on a Raider team that could give Kansas City a run for their money in the AFC West. In the Las Vegas Raiders, they got a lot of potential, a lot of talent in Las Vegas. So, Eric, the Sunday night game, Tampa Bay and Las Vegas, how do you like this one?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting game. I mean, everybody's sleeping on the Raiders as well. You know, you don't really hear that name thrown around too much. And they upset the Chiefs early in the year that I called would happen. So they got that mojo. They got that confidence. You know, the Buccaneers, they might come into this game swell-headed thinking that, hey, look at this defense. We stopped Aaron Rodgers. We put a stop to Aaron Rodgers. Hey, you look out, man. Derek Carr in this offense is very talented. Josh Jacobs, I mean, they're playing at a high level. So, you know, Tampa Bay, they're starting to get that mojo together. I think they're starting to get that groove. So this should be probably one of the better Sunday night football games. And, of course, you know, John Gruden going up against his former team that he won the Super Bowl with. So, yeah, this is definitely must-see football right here. You know, Sunday night, Buccaneers, Raiders, this should be a good game.
All right, Eric, and Monday night was expected to be a good game between the Chicago Bears and the Los Angeles Rams for both teams. Well, actually for Chicago, I should say, coming off a big win over Carolina. For the Rams, they lost a Sunday night matchup against the 49ers, their division rivals. So the Rams have got a lot to play for. The Bears have got a lot to play for as well. They're chasing Green Bay for that top spot in the NFC North. This is a team. This is a kind of like a compare and contrast of both teams. Chicago, solid on offense, but they're known for the defense. The Rams have an excellent defense led by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but they can get the ball down the field with their quarterback Jared Goff and their solid receivers. Their running game has been great. So Monday night, Eric, at the new stadium in Inglewood, Bears and Rams, how do you like this one?
Yeah, this is like a good way to end week 7 of football. I got the Bears looking like they're trying to turn that corner with Nick Foles and become a better team. And defensively, they've always lived on defense. But, you know, this Rams team, they starting to gel again like they did a few years ago and they went to the Super Bowl. Their offense is clicking. Jared Goff's playing very well. Defensively, you know, Aaron Donald's playing probably defensive player of the year caliber type play this year again. So it's going to be a good game on Monday night. You know, if the Bears want to get anywhere in the NFC North, you need to beat the Rams and start getting some wins because that division's, you know, wide open just as any other division. So all these games are important, man. And the Bears, you know, don't be shocked if the Bears don't pull off a win on Monday night. I know the Rams are hot, but, you know, the Bears still a dangerous team. They do have a lot of talent on that team. So, but, hey, there's only one way to find out, and that's tune in on Monday night.
Indeed, that's the only way to tune in on Monday night. And that's me and Eric previewing the most important games for Week 7 in the NFL.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar, además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Well, now it's time for our games of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Tennessee Titans. I tell you one thing, Ben Roethlisberger has been one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL. And, yeah, he's in the latter stages of his career, but he is still getting it done. He's bounced back nicely from that elbow injury, and he's gotten a lot of help, not just from Juju Smith-Schuster, but also James Washington. And how about the rookie, Chase Claypool? Chase Claypool has been outstanding, and we can't forget about the running game with James Conner and Benny Snell Jr. Big Ben, along with the great coaching by Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have played well. And how about on the defensive side with the likes of Bud Dupree, also T.J. Watt, Joe Hayden, and just a whole host of other guys on that Steeler defense that make things run nicely for Steel City thus far. And another thing about the Steelers so far is that they're undefeated, and they're going up against another undefeated team in the Tennessee Titans. Again, Tennessee, one of those underrated teams in the league. They got Ryan Tannehill playing some solid ball. Derrick Henry is just running the ball at will right now. They got a solid offense, and defensively they're playing extremely well right now. The stage is going to be set for this game between the Steelers and the Titans. Can't wait for it. This may be a preview of the AFC Championship game. You never know in the National Football League. It's going to be exciting. Pittsburgh and Tennessee, my game of the week.
My game of the week. I'm going to go to an old, old rival game because, like I said, these two teams do not like each other. They got a lot of history. You know, the Browns, Bengals. I think this is going to be a great game. Two young quarterbacks, two dynamic offenses. I mean, you look at the Bengals offense, start off with Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon. You got Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green. A lot of talent up and down the board. Then you look at the Browns, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt. So almost mirror-type teams. They thrive on the play action. They like to run the football, and they like to have their running back catch the ball out the backfield, and they rely on talented receivers like an A.J. Green, Odell Beckham, a Tyler Boyd, a Jarvis Landry. So this is definitely going to be a good game, and this is the games you want fans in the stands for. These type of games, you want 60,000 fans in the stands for these type games, and probably have some fans in the stands, but nowhere near full capacity. But it'll come down the road, but still, this game, I think, is going to be a really good game. Might come down to who has the ball at last, maybe even a little overtime in this game. 34-31 type finish, 31-28, something like that. So definitely looking forward to seeing this game and see what happens in this game. A lot of talent in this game, and that's my game of the week.
All right, and that concludes our segment with our games of the week. Get in the zone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar, además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And, you know, he was off last week, but he's back now. And here's Eric with his top 10 fantasy players to watch out for in week 7.
Well, you know, we got a lot of bye weeks coming up. We got injuries left and right. I'm dealing with bye weeks. So I got some players here that maybe some people may get a little info on, and I decide to plug them on in and get some production. I'm going to go right now with tonight's game. I'm going to go Daniel Jones tonight against the Eagles defense. I think he's going to move around in the pocket, extend plays, and make plays happen. And I think he might even rush for a touchdown tonight and throw a touchdown. So I think Daniel Jones, if you know people's got some bye weeks and they don't really have a good quarterback on their bench, they're just looking to get someone to maintain some good points, I think Daniel Jones will get the job done for you. And I'm going to go to the Saints game. I'm going to go tight end Jared Cook. He's been kind of quiet this year. He had a touchdown a few weeks back. He's a little banged up coming off this bye week, and especially if Michael Thomas comes back this week, I think it's going to open up a lot more for Jared Cook, and I believe he's going to have a heck of a game against the Panthers. Last year in one of the games he played against the Panthers, they couldn't stop him. I think it's going to happen again this weekend, so definitely look for Jared Cook at the tight end position. And I'm going to go Joe Burrow against the Cleveland's defense. I think this is going to be a shootout, and I think Burrow, I think he's going to come into his own. I think he's going to have one of those wild games to where you really see that this dude's talent is there and his future is going to be bright. And I think against Cleveland, he's going to put up some really good numbers. And I'm going to go my next fantasy player, Brandon Cooks. Seems like he's starting to come along. I don't know if a lot of people's trusting him. I trust him so much that I started him last week, gave me a touchdown for 50-somewhat yards, gave me about 12 points. Love his production. I'm even plugging him in this week because of my bye week. So if anybody's thinking about Brandon Cooks, listen, give him a shot. This new offense that's going on here since they fired their coach, they're looking at Brandon Cooks a lot more. His targets have went up. His touchdowns has went up. His receptions and yards have all went up in the last few weeks. They're going to go up again this week. I think he's going to have a good game. So you got a bye week coming up with some receivers, a flex player. Look at Brandon Cooks because he's starting to get involved in this offense since they got a new coach and a lot of stuff has changed. I'm going to go with my next fantasy player, Ryan Tannehill, against the Steelers defense. Listen, don't bench him because he's playing the Steelers this week. Keep him in there. He thrives on these type games. I'm telling you, his best comes out against games like this. And I think Pittsburgh's going to over-pursue too much in this game with these blitz. And he's going to kill them with it, I promise you. Look for Ryan Tannehill. He's definitely, if they blitz him and miss him, he's going to scramble up the field for 15, 20 yards before anybody even touches him. So definitely look for Ryan Tannehill. And I'm going to stick with quarterbacks. I'm going to go Cam Newton against this 49ers defense. I know a lot of people put him on the bench. He got hurt. Well, I wouldn't say hurt. He had the COVID that came up. He was hurt last year. I don't know if a lot of people have been starting him. But he's playing well. He's getting better. And I think against this 49ers defense, he's going to get even better. I think he's starting to come into that Cam Newton that we used to know. He's got plenty of weapons around him. And like I said, he's not sick. He's not hurt no more. He's just looking to play good football. And I think he's going to reward anybody who starts him this week. Give him a start. Hey, it's bye week time. I know people's got quarterbacks on byes. Definitely look for Cam Newton if you need someone to plug in there. He'll get you some production. And I'm going to stick with this game, too. I'm going to say Julio Edelman because of Cam Newton. I think Julio Edelman is going to have a good game. I think he's going to just tear up the middle of the field, where he lives at, down the middle. And I see him getting in the end zone this week. 49ers defense is pretty tough, but they're not the defense that they once were. And Julio Edelman is definitely going to seize the moment in this game. I see he's averaging 7 to 8 targets a game. If he catches at least 6 of those 7 or 8 targets, it's going to be easily for probably 60, 70 yards. Right there, that's 7 points. And if he gets in the end zone, 13 points, double digits. You got to look at Julio Edelman. I think Cam Newton's going to look his way. And I'm going to go back to tight end. I'm going to go Rob Gronkowski against the Raiders. I think this is going to be a shootout, a lot of throwing. And I don't think that the Raiders are going to be able to stop Rob Gronkowski. I think he's going to do it to any tight end. I mean, any linebacker that sticks him. He's one of the top tight ends. It's hard to even stop this dude. I mean, he's always open. His health is always a concern. But, you know, people haven't been starting him, and they got bye weeks. Like I said, it's bye week time. Now all these bye weeks are starting to kick in. Sometimes you got to go with some of the oldie but goodies. And I'm telling you, Rob Gronkowski last week had his first touchdown. And I think he went to Tom Brady and said, hey, I like that. Come back to me. So definitely look for him to put up some production. And I'm going to stick with this game. I'm going to go Josh Jacobs against this Bucs defense. Yeah, they shutting down running backs. They stopping them. But I'm telling you what, they're not stopping them out the backfield. And I think that's where his bread and butter is going to be, out the backfield. I see him 7-8 receptions out the backfield, possibly between 60 and 70 yards. And I still think he's going to be productive in the run game. See, he's not a hard-nosed runner. He's just not going to run up the middle. He's going to be patient, find the hole, hit that hole. And even if he gets 3 or 4 yards per carry, you know, you give him 14, 15 carries, that's production. That's over 50, 60 yards plus another 40, 50 out the backfield. That's a good point. So definitely look for Josh Jacobs in his game. Then I'm going to go with my last one here. I'm going to go Darryl Henderson, running back for the Rams versus this Bears defense. I like him at the goal line. They feed him the ball. He's been getting some good carries. His carries have went up the last 2 weeks. He's finding the zone. He's breaking tackles. This dude, he has last week he had like 15 yards after a broke tackle. So that's extra points there. That's a point, almost 2 points. So definitely look for Darryl Henderson. I know they've been sharing carries in that backfield, but my opinion, he's been the lead rusher back there the last few weeks, and I think it's going to continue against the Bears. They're just going to pound on this Bears defense and the play action to come along, and he might even catch some screens out the backfield. But I like Darryl Henderson just because I think they're going to give it to him in a red zone. So that's my 10 fantasy players for this week, and hopefully some people can get some help with it who are having these bye weeks.
Some interesting your top 10 right here, Eric. I want to ask you about two players real quick. I want to ask you about Rob Gronkowski. The first 5 games of the year, man, people that had him on their fantasy rosters, they were waiting for Gronk to have a breakout game. He had a breakout game against Green Bay. You think he's going to continue his success against the Raiders and going forward?
I believe he will. I mean, I don't think he's going to put up mind-boggling numbers every week. But like I said, with bye weeks coming up, tight ends on bye weeks, tight ends getting injured, and, you know, people scrambling around to see who could I start this week. I need to start somebody. He scored a touchdown last week, and I promise you he's been in Tom Brady's ear all week. Hey, look, man, I want to get back in that end zone. One ain't enough. I got one touchdown this year. Let's get back in the end zone this week because they're going to have to throw this ball to beat the Raiders. I'm going to tell you now, you're not going to beat the Raiders by just running. You're going to have to do some throwing. And I think he's going to be open, especially in the red zone. He's going to look for him in the red zone. And I think that's where he's going to get back into the end zone. So I really believe his number's going to go up. His target's going to go up. Starting to get that comfort level with the Tampa Bay, you know, offense. Him and Brady have chemistry, but the play call is different. The routes are different. The blocking's different. They're starting to get that groove. So it's going to get better, and I see it getting better this week than he did last week.
And on the Rams offense, we know about Jared Goff and those talented receivers, but people are starting to pay attention to Darryl Henderson, man. Tell me how you think Darryl's going to have his way with the Bears offense with the Bears defense on Monday night.
I mean, I believe, you know, Cam Akers, I think, is back. I don't know if he's 100%. He will get some carries. But it's been Darryl Henderson. They've been ramping about him. I've been watching his highlights. I see the way he runs. His 3-yard runs, you see the effort. It takes two guys to get him down. And he catches out the backfield a little bit. And I'm not going to say he's an Alvin Kamara out the backfield. But don't sleep on him out the backfield. He'll catch it. And in the goal line, they get in the goal line, he's going to push the pile to the end zone. And I like about it is his touches. He gets 13, 14 carries a game. That's good. You know, all he takes is to break a couple of those for 20 yards here, 15 yards there, a couple of catches out the backfield, and before you know it, you got 9-10 points on a running back that no one really started. So I'm starting him this week. That's how confident I am. See, I don't just put these names up here. I'm starting Henderson this week. I got confident in him. I got some bye weeks. I got some players hurt. Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler on my team. Both of them on IR hurt. Jonathan Taylor, other running back, on a bye week. So who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with Henderson. I like his production. I like his carries. I like his yards after contact. I like what he does. So I think he's going to run run well this week against the Bears. I really do.
That's why I always trust you, Eric, when it comes to fantasy football. He's Eric, and he's giving you what he knows about the fantasy football, his top 10 fantasy players to watch out for in Week 7.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar, además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And all right, Eric, let's do this. It's now time, before we close out the show, it's time for our picks. I've got the Eagles to beat the Giants on tonight's Thursday night matchup. I've got the Saints to beat the Panthers in the Battle of Ohio. I like Cleveland to beat Cincinnati. I like the Packers to bounce back to beat the Texans. It's going to be a great game in Nashville. I like the Titans to beat the Steelers. I like the 49ers to beat the Patriots. On Sunday night, going to be a close game in Viva Las Vegas, but I like the Bucks to beat the Raiders. Monday night, the Rams will bounce back as I have the Rams beating the Chicago Bears.
We come close on some of these games. I agree with the Eagles. I agree with the Saints. I disagree. The Battle of Ohio, I think, is going to Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati against Cleveland. I agree with you with the Packers. I disagree. I got the Steelers in a close, good game, beating Tennessee. And I also disagree with the 49ers game. I think the Patriots get back into their winning ways. Cam Newton starts playing some good football, so I got the Patriots over the 49ers. And I don't agree with you with the Bucks. I know I just like the Raiders. They're at home. The Raiders are playing good football. You know, the Bucks are coming off a big dominated win. Sometimes that could be a bad thing. So I like the Raiders to beat the Bucks. And on Monday night, I agree with you. I got the Rams in a good game, close competitive game, but I got the Rams beating the Bears on Monday night.
All right, and that does it for me and Eric's picks of the most important games for Week 7 in the NFL.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto. Tenemos más opciones para comprar, además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, Eric, before we head on out, the Tua era officially begins. The Dolphins have a bye week this week, and Brian Flores, who is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he made it known that Tua Tagovailoa will be the starting quarterback in Week 8 against the Los Angeles Rams. Now, Tua is excited about it, but his the person that he's replacing, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he recently went on social media and expressed his frustration. Some of the things that he said in the quotes were, he said he felt like he was being fired. And now let's give Fitzpatrick a lot of credit, Eric. The Miami's been playing pretty well in this first half of the year. So, nevertheless, head coach Brian Flores says he sees Tua making consistent throws, and he feels that it's time for a change. So the Tua era is alive and well in Miami. What's your take on this?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, they was up big last week when they put Tua in there, and he played well in the time he was in there. But also seeing, you know, Fitzpatrick pumping the crowd up when Tua ran onto the field, as if saying, hey, give this kid some cheers. He's coming onto the field for the first time, like, suffering a bad injury. But I don't agree with it right now. I think Fitzpatrick's playing well enough to just let him play out the year and let him sit a little while, learn a little more. I just don't see why I put them in right now. They won big last week. Their offense is playing well. Fitzpatrick is playing well. I didn't see a reason why for him to lose the job, you know. I figured, you know, they started him week one, he should be the starter unless he loses that job. And he got pulled out the game last week because they was up, like, I don't know, 26-0. I don't remember the score. I mean, he played well, put some touchdowns on the board. They won. And he loses his job. It's weird. He's coming off a big win in a bye week, and he loses his job. So, now I can see if he threw three interceptions for 109 yards. big loss, then the week before played horrible and lost, then I can understand. But he's been playing pretty well, Fitzpatrick. And like I said, Fitzpatrick, the only reason Tua got in the game last week because Fitzpatrick had to team up by so many points that they just, you know, pulled him and put in two. And Tua did look pretty good. He looked pretty good. But saying how Fitzpatrick loses the job coming off a big win like that, looking good. So it's, you know, I'm not the coach. You know, I wish all the best to Tua. I just hope they don't put him out there and he gets hurt, man. You know, well, I guess we'll soon see. They know more than us, but I don't agree with it, though. I just think Fitzpatrick's been playing pretty well. You know, they just came off a big win, and you bench your starting quarterback. So, not sure. Well, I mean, what's your opinion on it, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is this, man. I agree with you on this. We know the Tua era is going to begin, Eric. We know Tua is not going to be sitting on the bench much longer. I actually, when we talked about it, when the draft had happened, I said Tua is going to start in 2 years. But right now, they got to go with the hot hand. Fitzpatrick's got the hot hand. He's, like you said, the team's been winning. Miami's been, you know, keeping up with New England and Buffalo in the AFC East. So it's almost like the equivalent of you saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't broke. Just don't fix it. And I think with Fitzpatrick being at the starting quarterback, he's got a lot of experience. No matter where he's gone, he's always been a proven winner. And I don't, again, head coach Brian Flores, he said that Tua made some nice throws. He made great progress in practice, and they feel that he's ready. I mean, he's ready, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that he's starting, but I think Fitzpatrick should have still had the hot hand. They should have went with him and stayed with him. Unless the injury or they got into a losing streak, that's the way I look at it, man. It was just kind of strange to me, you know. That's the way I saw it.
But the thing is, all right, say Tua comes in after the bye week, all right, plays a game, throws two interceptions for 190 yards, and they lose by three touchdowns. What do you do then? Do you be like, hey, Fitzpatrick, we're sorry for firing you and putting you second string, but – we're going to restart you next week. What does that do to Tua's confidence? You know, it's just a bad situation because the problem is Fitzpatrick was playing well. They're coming off a big win, going into a bye week on a big win and lose your job. And if Tua don't produce, they're going to have to go back to Fitzpatrick. It's just going to start a big deal over there at quarterback. And like I said, I agree with you. I love seeing Tua playing again. I watched that game when he got hurt when he played at Alabama. I seen the injury, and I was like, man, this dude, he's going to be messed up for a while. But he's looking good. He did look good last week. Get me wrong on a couple of drives, but the game was over pretty much. No blitzes on him or nothing. You know, we're going to see. I just hope he plays well. I don't want him to see him come in and play bad and they lose, and all of a sudden they put Fitzpatrick back in, who's now mad because he got benched. And now Tua's thinking, oh, man, I messed up the team. I'm throwing interceptions, and there goes his confidence. So we're going to see how this plays out. Hopefully it plays out for the best, but kind of a mind-boggling there, you know?
Yeah, just again, I'm just kind of puzzled by that situation right there. I mean, we'll stay tuned and find out what's going on. Again, the NFL, Eric, is never a dull moment. Never a dull moment. Always has us in a loss for words. But the Tua era begins after the bye week in Miami. And real quick, Eric, the New Orleans Saints, that everything is still in motion for the time being. They said they could play their games at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge as early as November. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen now. You know, they're letting fans in the Superdome now starting this week against the Panthers. It will be 3,000 fans. And I think the game, next home game, I think it might go up a little bit to maybe 3,500. So I feel, you know, by mid-December when playoff push is coming, we could possibly have 5,500 in the Superdome. See, what happened was they said no fans. So the Saints said, all right, we're just going to play in Baton Rouge at LSU Stadium. And now they're like, whoa, hold up. Let's talk. I could put a few fans in there now. Don't leave. Hey, we're looking to win, man. We need fans. We need fans. We need to hear that noise on 3rd and 5. We need the audience into the game. We need these offenses can't hear. I remember going to that game watching Tom Brady yell to Randy Moss, and Moss couldn't hear him. They called a timeout. That was the year we went to the Super Bowl. 7 minutes into the fourth quarter, they benched Tom Brady and Randy Moss because they was down like 38-17, and it was just over. It was so loud. I went home that night, Ed, with a headache out of this world. It's how loud that dome was, and Brady didn't know what to do. So I was thinking, you know, Justin Herbert and that dome, he looked nice in there. That was without fans. You put 70,000 fans in that dome, Justin Herbert's performance still may be pretty good, but not what he did. It's big difference. So I like it. Let's see what happens with the 3,000, and if everything looks good, the next home game, bump it up a couple of, you know, 500 more. No, let's see where we go with it.
Rightfully so, and then that's going to do it. So, Eric, before we go, anything else we need to look forward to in a week 7 in the NFL?
Like I say, I'm looking to see what Joe Burrow does this week. He's definitely someone I'm going to watch. I'm definitely going to watch that game. I want to see him come back and play very well and play the way that he started playing. I know he dropped off a little bit, but such a talented player. Definitely want to check out Joe Burrow this weekend and keep an eye on all these quarterbacks. And hopefully everybody can stay healthy and just play some good football and have another good week of football.
All right, rightfully so. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. He's Eric Habas Reitinger, and I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and we'll talk to you again next week right here on the NFL Wrap-Up.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto, tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Bienvenido a AutoZone. ¿Con qué proyecto te podemos ayudar? ¿Recoger una orden online? Claro, por cierto, tenemos más opciones para comprar además de recoger en la tienda el mismo día, como la entrega gratis en tu auto. Y si no quieres salir de casa, hacemos entrega el día siguiente gratis. Y puedes ordenar hasta las 10 de la noche. En AutoZone hacemos tu trabajo más fácil. Entrega al día siguiente disponible en compras de más de $35. Restricciones y detalles en AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
What you doing?
Trying on glasses with Zenni's 3D virtual try-on.
Wow, that's pretty cool. But those glasses kind of make you look like your Uncle Bob.
Oh, not exactly the look I was going for. Okay, how about these clear glasses? Oh, or these round ones?
Very on trend. I like both on you.
You know, I also like these aviator sunglasses.
Wait, are those the actual prices? I say get all of them.
Seriously, why not, right?
Oh, now I want new glasses.
Zenni.com, quality prescription glasses starting at $6.95.
Bienvenido a AutoZone, donde siempre encuentras ayuda. ¿Tu auto no arranca? No te preocupes. Empecemos con probar tu batería gratis. Puede que solo necesites una recarga y también te ayudamos con eso. Si necesitas reemplazarla, estás en el lugar correcto porque tenemos opciones desde $79.99. En el destino número uno para baterías, tenemos la solución. Basado en datos del NPD Group Incorporated, Carker Track 12 meses finalizando en diciembre del 2019.
The Medicare annual election period deadline is coming soon. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who found the key to the right coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online.
I took my time and found the best Medicare Advantage plan for me at myhealthpolicy.com.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plan, so I called myhealthpolicy.com.
And finally, Michael.
I prefer face-to-face, so I chose MyHealthPolicy.com and enrolled on the spot.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans, or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START, MyHealthPolicy.com. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.